Oh yeah. Linux in the house. Shizzle McNizzle. Linux in the howie.
Nice voice crack.
It's the cold. Anyway, welcome to episode 13 of Linux in the House. And we're doing this episode today because Paige really wanted to, because she's excited to talk to you finally about her homework that was months ago. I don't even remember what her homework was. Oh yeah, that was in episode 10 back in July. So almost a year later, finally, her homework is finished.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, no, wait a second. Hold on. Over a year. So it's a year and a half later, her homework is finally finished. Because episode 10 was July 23rd, 2012, where you were supposed to do create something in Krita. And finally, Klaatu can no longer be hanging on the edge of his seat for a year and a half, because I think he fell off a few times. He gets to finally hear about your experiences with Krita. So Paige, why don't you take it away?
Just take it
but
away.
But first, before we go on,
but first,
I want to let everybody know that Paige is going to talk about Krita. So everybody, Paige's homework of a year and a half ago, this is what she has to say.
Are you done? Can you just like
but first,
stop talking?
Go ahead.
What else? This is actually, that would be second, not first, because you already did first. So what's second?
Well, why don't you talk about Krita?
Oh, can I talk about Krita now?
I'm waiting.
Can I? Okay. Well, I don't know what you want me to say about Krita, but I guess I'll just talk about like why it took me so long and why I eventually did it.
You know what? I want to hear all those things, but let me give you just a little path so you can tailor what you're going to talk about and probably answer some of these questions. First off, people don't know what Krita is. And secondly, a lot of people kind of know what Photoshop and GIMP are. How does Krita compare to the GIMP? There you go. There's a path for you after you're done talking about why it took so long.
Okay. Krita is a vector-based drawing, right?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. Hold on.
I believe it is. Yes, Krita is a vector-based drawing tool.
Well, hold on one second. Let me just look it up really quick.
Wow. What are you looking at? Trying to look up. You're going to Krita.org to look up what Krita is. It is digital painting creative freedom is what Krita is. So, yes,
okay.
To answer your question, it is a drawing tool, but go ahead.
Okay, well, Krita is a drawing tool, painting tool application where you can just, do all sorts of painting and drawing stuff. It's not really an image editor. Like GIMP is mainly an image editor or an editor. It's not mainly for drawing. It's for editing things. But Krita is for creating things and painting and drawing stuff. And Photoshop, I think, is mostly for editing too. Although a lot of people do draw in Photoshop. It's marketed for editing, I think. So that would be comparing Krita to GIMP and Photoshop. That's how I would put it. And compared to Inkscape, where I think Inkscape and Krita are supposed to be like the same idea. They're for drawing. But I find Inkscape is more of like making specific things like logos or they do a lot of advertising for making logos and stuff, so that's the only thing I could think of, like, using it for, maybe, like, patterns or something like that. But Krita is more of, like, draw whatever you want, because of how the tools are set up and laid out, and the options and stuff.
Okay, I get it. So, Krita is like Inkscape, which is close to what people on the proprietary side would say, maybe Adobe Illustrator or back in the day, CorelDRAW, and so that's where Krita comes into play as being a application that you would draw with more so than GIMP. So go ahead, talk to us about Krita.
Well, I would say that Krita is like a better version of Inkscape. Like, they have a lot of differences, so it's hard to say that because, you know, they do have a lot of differences. And, but I just think Krita is better for me to use. I think it's easier to use than Inkscape. I never really liked Inkscape, and I still don't really like Inkscape, and I don't really know how to use Inkscape. But, I've, like, read manual stuff about Inkscape and, like, how to do certain things, and it seems to me like in Inkscape you don't have a lot of freedom to just draw. Like, you gotta connect whenever you make a stroke, it's on a different, like, layer or a different section, and I don't know how to connect them, and I just don't understand how to use it very well. But with Krita, it seems to me that it's, like, all about the layers. So you can just add layer after layer after layer of all these different things that come together to make one picture. And you can, like, take out layers or put in layers, and it seems a lot easier for me to use.
Okay, so we'll take a step back a second. If you were to draw a line in Inkscape, you were to draw two lines in Inkscape, how would you connect those two lines together?
Okay, sorry. I was pressing the wrong button. In Inkscape, I think, well, when you draw two lines, when you pick up your pen or when you, let go of the mouse or when you make two separate lines, I think what it is, it's like it makes two different parts. Like, each line you can manipulate and move and, like, warp and make it different by itself, and it doesn't affect anything else. Like, it's got a selector box around each line, and you can, like, make it bigger or smaller, or make it, like, warp it in a different direction or something like that. You can edit each individual line, but I never found out how you were supposed to put the lines together, like, connect to them. I think you can connect them with, like, another line if you use the right end for it. Like, if you have, like, a path tool, and you can connect the end of the path of one line to the end of the path of another line with another line. But I'm not sure. If I did find that out, I don't remember.
Okay. So if you were to draw two separate lines in Inkscape and then draw a third line to connect them together, those three lines would technically be... Oh, I was talking and I realized I did the same thing that you just did. So if you were to draw three separate lines in Inkscape.
Did you lose your train of thought or did you mute yourself?
No, I'm pressing the wrong button here. Because I'm actually in Inkscape right now and I was just trying something out, and instead of pressing the button that I should have been pressing, trying to see which one is it. I can't remember what. Oh, I can't remember which tool it is, and it's not. What I will say is, for the average person who just pops into it and says, "I'm going to make these two lines and draw them together, and then I'm going to." How would I connect those two lines? Join selected nodes is not it. I honestly don't know. I thought I did know, but I don't. I thought that it was just join selected nodes, but there's another way to do it. I'm not going to pretend I know. So let's go on to the next question, would be, how do you join two separate... I mean, do you have the same thing in Krita? Like, if you drew one line and drew another line and drew a line between them, would they be treated the same way? Would they be connected?
No, Krita is, it doesn't have that whole thing that Inkscape has going on where when you make one line, it is separated, like kind of like a text box. Like, if you have one line of text and then you make another line of text, they're not separate. Like, but for lines, like text boxes might be separate, although you can't make those in Krita, but that'll be a different thing I'll get into later. In Krita, everything, as long as it's on the same layer, it's kind of like drawing in GIMP. If you draw in GIMP, if everything's on the same layer, then it's all connected in the same field. It's all in the same plane. And when you use an eraser, it's going to erase all of it. When you color over it. It's going to color over all of it. If you add some sort of effect to it, it's going to add the effect to all of those lines that you draw.
Okay, here's what I'm wondering, okay? I'm trying to figure out whether Karita would technically be considered a vector-based... Okay, continue. So if you had two lines and when you're on the same layer, all the lines apply. So one of the differences when you typically when you're drawing in Inkscape, you're drawing, there's a freehand mode and then there's a Bezier curve mode. And if you wanted to manipulate an object after you had drawn it, put it onto the thing, you would manipulate the nodes and the curves. Bezier curve, so you would have to kind of attach the two together. I take it Krita is not like that, correct?
Yeah, you're right. Krita is not like that. It's got those curves. That I call it the paths tool because that's what it's called in GIMP. It's got all those curve things, and you can use that as a tool. And what you do is you make the curve, and then you hit, like, shift, and you click, and it makes the line. But after that, that line is not, you can't edit that line. It stays on the layer or whatever you put it on. It stays on the layer. And you can't, the only thing you could do is you could erase it or you could draw over it, but you can't like further like edit the curves on it like you can in Inkscape. So that's how it would differ with the, I'm going to call it the paths tool. That's how it would be different between Inkscape and Krita.
So Krita has a paths tool?
Yeah, and it's just like the GIMP path tool where, you can, it's actually, no, let me say that differently. It's not just like the paths tool in GIMP, because I think with the Krita paths tool, once you click, and you finish making a line segment with the path, you can't like erase that part and you can't, and go on to like
what? You muted yourself.
Oh, sorry. If you were to use the path tool in Krita, let me get it open. Okay, so when you use the path tool in Krita, you click, if it'll let me click. Okay, yeah. You click one spot, then you click another to obviously make the path, and then you can curve it whichever way you want to curve it. And then you curve it again, and you click another spot to curve it, and blah, blah, blah. You keep doing that until you have the line you want, but you can't, like, it doesn't have those little boxes it has to represent each place that you clicked to stop your curve, to stop your, to stop a little segment in the path, and I don't think you can undo where you click. So I think that would be, like, the difference between this path tool and the one from GIMP and Inkscape, and also that the line that you make, you can't edit it.
All right, so let's step back a second. And, okay, so we don't know completely 100% the differences between Inkscape and Krita and what the application is, because between you and I, you have 10 times more digital illustration experience than I do, but I'm probably guessing you are more so a user of the applications at this time and don't know necessarily understand the whys of the applications, correct?
Yeah, let me just say that when I get a new application like Krita or when I first got GIMP 2, when I draw in them and when I start using them, I basically do like a hands-on, just like dive into it and start learning it by using it. And I don't do a lot of like looking up how to work certain things. I usually just try and figure it out for myself, and I feel more accomplished when I figure things out on my own. So I try and do that because I don't like reading through manuals. It gets really boring, but I should probably read through manuals before I start using the application. But I don't do that, which is bad on my part. And that's why I don't really understand, like, or have listed out in my mind the differences between, like, Inkscape and GIMP and Krita, because I never really read the full manual for any of them. And so I don't, like, know the technical information about each and every tool.
Well, okay, so you're grounded now, because you didn't come forward.
Of course, that's understandable.
What I think, see, here's the thing. I never was really into artistic things. I mean, I'd love to be. I wish I invested the time to learn how to draw and be more artistic, but I never did. You have that skill, which is wonderful. I think where we're falling down here is, something that, and I don't want to say we're falling down. I mean, it's great. I mean, I see what you do in the GIMP and I see what you do in Krita, and it's really great stuff. It's fantastic stuff. I mean, I'm really impressed. Don't get me wrong. I think kind of like in these questions right here, what I'm trying to understand is, why would you use the GIMP, or why would you, you know, where does the GIMP fall into the workflow? Where does Inkscape flow? Where does Krita flow? What are the specifics for these applications? Now, my understanding of the GIMP is that it is a image manipulation program. So, like, a year and a half ago, let's go back 6 months ago, you were doing primarily all your drawing work in the GIMP, were you not?
Yeah, that's true.
And I was always saying to you, you know, take a step back a second. GIMP is not for, you can draw in the GIMP, but GIMP is not really for, that's not what the GIMP is designed for. It's for image manipulation, like taking an object that you, or image that you've already created and doing kind of touch-up work and enhancements. That's a lot of what the GIMP does. How, if, you know, from me saying that, and me saying that in the past, and me saying that right now, would you, based upon your experience with Krita now, agree with me or disagree on that?
I would totally 100% agree with you. It is so much easier, better, smarter, and, like, to draw in Krita as opposed to GIMP. I think the images look better. They're easier to do. It takes less time, and it's less frustration to use Krita for drawing than to use GIMP for drawing. GIMP is not an application that is meant to be drawn in. It's meant to edit what you have or what you make. And I think a better way of explaining, like, the purposes of the applications would be to tell you, like, how I'm using them now. Krita is 100% what I draw in. I only do drawings in Krita. I don't try and edit pictures with Krita, only drawing in Krita. And GIMP is what I go to after I've drawn something in Krita. It's what I use to edit the picture because, like, maybe I couldn't do something in Krita that I want to do in GIMP, or maybe I want to touch something up. I use GIMP for that because GIMP is really good for the editing. Like, I don't think I'll ever stop using GIMP because I really like it, and I think it has a lot of really useful and really cool tools, but it's not for drawing.
So then, what, I think we can all basically understand what you mean by drawing, but not necessarily what you mean by editing. So explain those two things. Like, you did a good job of kind of giving us an overview of what you, your workflow, but take it down a little deeper. Let's talk about the image that you drew, the Naruto that you created the other day. Did you use both Krita and GIMP for that?
I think for that picture, which we'll have up on the website in the video description, or in the
video
episode description. Shut up. In the video description, I think. Dang it! In the episode description, I'm pretty sure you're going to put either just that one or a couple of the things that I've done in Krita and in GIMP up, like, in the description of the episode.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me not put words in your mouth as I put words in your mouth right now. Let's focus on one that you did in both and tell us what that is. I mean, we'll put all the ones that you want to put up on the website is fine, but let's talk about one that you did in both and explain the workflow, what you did in both applications from kind of like start to finish.
Okay. Let me look and see what I have in here. Okay. I have a really good example of one that I did in both. It's like the first one I did after my long hiatus from digital drawing. And it's this girl, she's standing in the middle of this like white background with these hexagons all around her. And I did this in both GIMP and Krita. The main reason I did that was I drew the girl, the main image, in Krita, and then I took I saved her as kind of like a rendered out version of her. Like, I think there's an option you can do on any of the layers, and it's like color 2 alpha or whatever, and it took out all the white. I'm not really sure how that works exactly, but so it took out all the white, and I could save her as a PNG file. I don't know, is that what it's called, a PNG? I saved it as that, and it kept the transparency, and I saved it as a file, and then I opened that in GIMP and made another picture or another image in GIMP of the same size with this white background, and I made these hexagons with like a brush, and I copy and pasted this girl onto that picture in GIMP because I didn't know how to import layers of something you've already done from your file system into a layer on what you're drawing in Krita. I didn't know if you could do that, and I just figured out how to do that like yesterday. I didn't know that at the time. So what I was doing was I would, whenever I had something that I wanted to add to a picture, I would open it in GIMP and I would cut it out of the picture that it was in, and I would paste it onto whatever I wanted it to be in. So that was one way that I used GIMP as an image editor. But I think a better example of what, of like, why I would use Krita as drawing and GIMP as editing is like, if I was gonna do a comic book, if I was gonna make a little comic strip or something, and I needed to have pictures and text in it, what I would do is I would draw everything in Krita and make the little text boxes in Krita, maybe in Krita. I could do that in GIMP. But I'd probably make the text boxes in Krita too. I would draw it out. But then once I was done drawing it out, I would have to take it over to GIMP because Krita doesn't have text boxes. It has, you can manipulate the brush that you use, and you can make it into this thing called a text brush, which, it lets you apply words in either like a line or letter by letter, and wherever you move your brush, that's where it will be. But it's not like a movable like box that you can, like change the font size or change the size of the words themselves. You have to like brush it on, and you could like scale the layer to a different size, but that's really all you can do is make it bigger or smaller by scaling the layer. So I would have to go into GIMP and I would have to make a text box, and I would have to write out my text in there and apply it to the image, and that's something that I would consider editing.
Okay.
I hope that made some sense. Like,
So when you were finished, so you said that you took the image, exported it to PNG, and imported it and pulled it into the GIMP as a PNG file, right?
Yeah.
Because you were asking me, how is it possible to export from Krita into GIMP and retain your layers?
Yeah, and I still haven't found a way to do that. I don't know if you can do that. I've been trying to find a way to a file that will save all of my layers in Krita, because the Krita files save layers. When you open them back into Krita, it's got whatever layers you had. It still has those layers. But I haven't been able to find a file that you can save the layers, and you can open that file in either GIMP or Inkscape and still have all those layers. If I could find a way to do that, I would probably use Inkscape a lot too.
So it sounds like what we have going on here is, if we stop and say, what we have going on here is a fundamental disconnect in knowledge and skill. And it might sound a little harsh putting it that way, but do you kind of see that? It's not that you don't have the skill to do the artistic side of things. You do. Now you're bucking up against the knowledge that you need to apply those skills to the tools that you're using.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. I think the thing is that I do have the skills to do it. It's just, it usually takes me so long, and it gets me so frustrated, and it makes me not want to draw because I don't try and dive into the knowledgeable side of it, which I should do more.
Huh. Okay. So I guess the next step would be, okay, here's the problem that I see, and I don't know. This is my experience with these type of applications. Now, I, for one, again, I don't have the drawing skills that you do. I have done some work, some logo work and stuff like that in applications. Where I always buck up against is I don't really have an understanding of what they mean with regards to a lot of these tools. And when would you use a specific tool to do, you know, I can say, well, I would like to do some shading, but how do I actually do the shading and what tools do I need to use? I mean, if you go into the GIMP and you pull down like the plugins and the different tools that they have and the different ways to manipulate color channels and stuff like that, I really have absolutely no idea what I'm supposed to do with those. I've messed around with them and played around, and I kind of get an idea of what they're supposed to do. But if I had that kind of, if I had a resource that I could look at and say, oh, that makes sense. Like, I followed some of the GIMP resources that I saw back in the day, and, you know, they're talking about different layers and creating a bump map and doing a bump map to create textures and stuff. And I can understand the flow of what they're doing, and I can partially get what they're doing, but I don't necessarily understand what the heck a bump map is or what that means and stuff like that. That's what frustrates me.
I understand what you mean. And if you want, for the show, I could, like, kind of explain, like, the tools in Krita and, like, how you would use them for different things like shading or just drawing, or why you would use this instead of this, or why you would use this, just why you would use it. I just don't really, like, if that's what I should talk about explaining Krita, then I can do that.
You can do that now, or you'd have to do research?
Well, I could do it based on what I understand of Krita and what I understand of drawing. Like, I could easily tell you why I would do this instead of this for shading, and why and how I would, like, make a line and how I would color it in.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with what I always start with when I'm drawing. And it would probably be easier if I could find some way to record what I'm doing on my computer. But maybe I'll try doing that some other time. For, like, another show, we can try doing that. Or for another thing where I'm explaining what I'm doing. But what I always start with when I'm drawing is I start with my completely white, like, template that I make in Krita. And when you're using Krita, you have to, like, you make a custom document, or you can select from, like, the predefined sizes or a predefined, like, type of document, like a comic template. But I usually, when I'm just doing some freehand drawing, I just go with a custom document, and I don't really pay much attention to the sizes, like the width and the height. I usually just go with whatever, either portrait or landscape, and it doesn't really make much of a difference to me, because I usually don't know what I'm going to draw until it actually starts becoming a picture. But I always start with getting one of my custom documents, and I make another layer, because I always want to have the cushion of having a background layer that I can do anything I want with, in case, and it, cause like if I mess up or something and it's on a different layer, I don't have to worry about erasing anything else with it. So whenever I'm drawing, I always start with a fresh layer, and I usually start with my line art of whatever I'm gonna do. And so for line art, they have the paint with brushes, which is just you click that and your mouse becomes your pencil or your brush or whatever you want to call it. And you can go and you can change, like, what kind of brush you use. Like, they have a regular ink brush, which is just kind of like a pencil tool in GIMP, or like paint tool in GIMP. It's just like that. And you can select, like, different things like the sharpness of it or the softness of it. And I usually don't get into that. I usually try and go really simple by just, like, having the size changeable. And that's usually enough for me, because with my tablet, like, the pressure makes it bigger or smaller and, like, opaque or more transparent depending on how hard I press. So I just use a regular paintbrush. I don't get into the air spray paintbrushes yet. I just use a regular, it's called Basic Ink Brush 25. And it's it's like, it comes with Krita, and I use that for just my line art, and I get a really simple sketch going. And once I'm, that's all on a separate layer. So once I'm done with that, then I can go further. But what I do with my line art is I usually, because I have a pretty steady hand, I usually don't go back with the path tool, and, like, remake any lines. But if you had a really unsteady hand and your line art was really messy, you could make another layer on top of that line art and use the path tool and kind of like trace your lines from your line art that you want to keep into, and it'll be really clean paths, and you can save those paths, and like they will make lines like with the ink brush or whatever brush you have set as your default brush for what you're currently doing, whatever brush you have set, and it'll make paths with that brush type and with the size and the opacity that you're using. And once it makes those paths, you can delete or erase your layer of your sketch, your other line art, and you could have this new cleaner line art if it's better for you. And that really depends on you as a person. Like if your hand is not very steady, that paths tool will be like your best friend, because you can make the paths and it doesn't matter how steady your hand is, as long as you get a good feel for how you need to curve it and where you need to go and how much curve is too much curve and what will affect the next path you make. And that's pretty much figuring out the path tool for yourself, because some people can do it really well and some people can't. And I'm kind of in the middle. I can kind of do the path tool, but not enough that I use it as like a default every time. I always go to the path tool. So I don't use the path tool a lot for line art. I usually just use the freehand tool, and that's good for me because I have a steady hand, like I said before. And so that's pretty much just what I start out with my line art. Is there any, like, do you have any, like, questions about that or anything you don't understand or anything that you want me to explain more?
No, I get it.
Okay. And usually what I do after I do my line art, after I'm done editing just this basic outline of whatever I'm going to draw, that's when I start the coloring. And this is most of the time this is what I do when I'm drawing, like, people. I'll explain, like, if I'm drawing backgrounds or, like, just a picture, like, of a boat or something like that. I'll explain that differently because that would be a different process. So when I'm drawing, like, people, like, when I do a fan art of, like, anime or something like that, I start with my line art and then I do my coloring. What I do with the coloring is I set it on a new layer, and all new layers that you do in Krita, they're automatically transparent. So if you want them to be, like, filled in with a color, I think if you go up to the layer option and you click, like, you make a new layer, it might give you options as to what you want on your layer. Yeah, it says new layer, add new paint layer, whatever. You can fiddle around with those options. I usually just keep it simple with a transparent layer. And if I want it to be colored, I'll just use the freehand tool and I'll make it really big and I'll color it all that one color. But if you use the fill tool, I don't know how to, like, section the fill tool for one layer. So whenever I use the fill tool, it always fills everything. So I don't really understand that tool. I try not to use it because it doesn't stick to one layer, the layer that you're on, like it does with the paintbrush. The paintbrush will stay on that one layer. But the fill tool doesn't do that, and I don't really understand why. So
hold on a second. When you say the fill tool, like, if you had, what does the fill tool actually do? When you do it again, can you just, you have a drawing. Okay, let's say you had a square on one layer, a circle on the second layer, and a triangle on the third layer. Where would you apply the fill? Which layer? Would you create a new layer to apply the fill?
Okay, let me explain it kind of like what you're saying with the shapes. But let me say, instead of having like a triangle, a square, and a circle, let me say that I have a background of a white background as my template, like just a page of white, like a piece of paper, like a piece of computer paper, and then I'd make a new layer and I draw a square on it. And, I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of square. So if it's just, like, the lines of a square or a filled-in square, doesn't matter. So if I want the background to, instead of white, be black, I can go to the background, and because the square is a closed shape, the fill won't go into the square. So I can fill the background layer. If I go to that layer, I can fill it with black. But if I move the square or the inside of the square, like, the inside of the square will not fill. The fill will not go past the boundaries of the square. And I don't understand why, because it's on a different layer, so it should still fill the square because it's on a different layer, but it doesn't want to fill the whole square. Or it doesn't want to fill the whole space behind the square. It just wants to fill.
Okay, hold on a second. What if you hide the square? What if you hide the layer that the square is on? Is the fill across the whole layer then? Or have you not tried that? Did you forget to unmute?
Yeah. It's because, like, anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I drew, like, a squiggly line on the white, on my white backing on a separate layer. The squiggly line is on a separate layer, and I just hid the squiggly line. I can't see it anymore. And I fill it, and I, yep, that works. Yeah, if I hide the layer, it works. So I guess that's how you get around it, but I don't usually use the fill tool that much anyway. But if you wanted to fill the background, yeah, that works.
I think what you have going on here, okay, I think what the point is when you, okay, let's stop a second and talk about, the object. When you created that square, did you create it as a square object and size it, or are you just taking a drawing and creating a square with your, just drawing it?
Well, I could do it just drawing a square, or I could make a square with, they have like a square shape that you can, like, you click one corner and you pull it over and you size it and it makes a different size square or rectangle.
Okay.
Or a circle, and it does the same thing for both.
Hold on a second. Okay, so you have a drawing you have open right now, correct?
Yeah.
If you unhide the layer that you drew a squiggly line on, okay, you see that? If you were to draw a circle on there right now, just take your pen and draw a circle.
Okay.
Is the inside of that circle now white in there, or is it the background color?
Well, if I use the circle, the circle thing where I click one corner and pull it over, if I use that to make it, it's
white.
In the middle? No, in the middle it doesn't make it white in the middle. It's not a filled circle, it's just the outside of the circle. It's just making the line. But
okay.
If I then try and go to the background color and fill the back around it, it sees the circle and it sees that circle line as like a boundary, and it doesn't fill the inside of it when it's visible.
Okay, hold on a second. Alright, we're talking about two different things here. That circle that you created, what's the inside of that circle color? What's the color of that circle?
It's the color of the background.
What's the color of the background? So if you were to go to the background right now, the layer of the background, and do a fill of yellow, does the inside of the circle turn yellow, or does it not turn yellow?
It does not turn yellow.
It does not turn yellow.
No, it stays the color it was before.
Now, are you sure you're filling the background, or are you filling the layer that the circle's on?
No, I'm sure I'm filling the background, because I go over and I click the first layer that has the background color. I click on that layer and I fill that layer, but if the layer on top of it with the circle is still visible, it sees that circle as a boundary line and it does not fill the inside. Now, I can fill the outside of that circle, and then I can fill the inside of that circle, and it'll look like it's completely filled in a different color, but if I go up to that layer that's above it, and I move it, if I move that layer, if I move the circle over, there'll be an outline of a circle that's the original background color surrounded by the new background color. So if I leave the layer above it visible, it must make it sense some sort of boundary, even though since it's on a different layer, it shouldn't sense that boundary.
All right, well, just continue on to what you were talking about.
Okay, should I talk about, like, coloring now?
That would be good.
Okay, well, once I'm done with my line art, and I have, you know, my base background, white, blank canvas, and then my layer with my line art. Once I've got that, those are the basics, I make another new layer. And in that new layer, that's where I start coloring, and usually what I do is I pick one section of this line art that I've done to color at a time, and I put it on different layers. And the only reason I do that is because I like to really be safe about what I'm doing. Like, if I suddenly decide that I really hate like the color of the shirt and that I want to erase it, it's much, much easier to delete a layer than to have to go in and intricately like erase the color to make sure I don't erase any other colors. Or if I do it on the layer with the line art, I have to go in and make sure I don't erase the line art too. So this is where layers really come in and are really important so that I don't have to worry about anything else around this one specific part that I'm doing. So if I were to start with the shirt color, I would make a new layer and then I would color in the shirt whatever color I want it to be. And then, and I would like erase parts that went outside of the line art and I would make it like inside the line art one solid color. And that would be my shirt color. And, that's basically like the most basic drawing that you could do with another layer. And if that's where you were going to stop, that's okay because it's like colored now, but you could still do more to it. But that's how I would color it, is I would make a new layer. And then in that one layer, you only take one section at a time to do this coloring because you don't want to mess up any other sections. So that's how I would do the coloring. And do you have any questions about that? Like, do you understand why I would make new layers?
Explain why you would make new layers.
Like I said, you would make new layers so that nothing else is disrupted, so that you could still have the line art. Like, you would put the layer with color underneath your line art so that you could see that the color isn't overlapping line, like not going outside the line art. You would be able to erase any color that went outside the line art, and your line art would still be there, and it wouldn't be erased because it's on a different layer.
Okay, continue on.
Okay. And after you have your basic, like, solid color shirt, like if you had a red shirt, you know, you'd have a solid color red shirt, and because it's on a different layer, you know, you put that layer underneath your line art, and you'll still see the black line. Like, even if the red is right under it, you'll still see the black line primarily because it's your top layer. So once you have that solid red shirt, what you can do is you can go in and shade. And like, I'm going to address that question you had earlier of what tools would you use to shade and why. For shading, you can use a whole bunch of different tools to get a whole bunch of different results or the same results. Like, shading is really a personal taste kind of thing. You can do shading however you want to do it and whichever way is comfortable to you. And the only technical term, and it's not really technical term, is I'm going to use is cell shading, which I've heard people talk about. And that's where they take like a completely different color with the paintbrush tool, and they like use that completely different color to color in just a certain number of the cells in the red coloring. And it makes like a different colored area that can look like a shadow. But that makes like really separate areas of shadow and lightness, and it doesn't like fade into each other. You just have a lot of sections of like different colored, like that red to a slightly darker red, slightly darker, 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 and that makes a shadowed effect. And some people are really good at that, and they can do that really well. Do you understand what I mean when I say the coloring each individual cell to make a shadow?
No, explain it.
Okay, it's kind of hard to explain because, like, people who do it, they know what it is, but it's kind of hard to explain without showing somebody. Like, if you take your red, you take the red base color you have, and then you get a slightly darker color, and you color, like, where you want your shadow to be, you color the shadow that color, and then you move over with a even darker color than that darker color you had, you move over just a little bit towards the inside of that shadow and you color that a darker red, and you keep doing that with darker colors moving in towards the middle of the shadow until you get this kind of shadow effect that's made with these sections of dark color instead of like a gradient into a darker color, like most shadows typically are like a gradient.
All right, continue. Just keep going. If I have a question, I'll stop you.
Okay. I don't shade like that. I don't like to shade like that. I think it usually looks like, whenever I do it, it always looks bad. I never do it very well because you have to have, like, good spacing of these different colors. And you have to, you know, use really, good colors that make a good transition into the shadow, and I'm not good at doing that. What I always do for shading, which I think is really easy, is I just take the airbrush, the basic airbrush brush, and I change up the opacity and the size, and I use that to shade. I take a color that's darker than the red I had for the t-shirt, and I'll use a very low opacity so that it doesn't look like streaky, and I'll start in the where it's darkest shadow, and I'll go out as far as I want the shadow to go, and then I'll go back into that corner, and I'll make that corner darker, letting the darkness go out and kind of like fade out. So I'll make the corner the darkest place, obviously, because that's where the shadow originates, and then make it like as it goes further out, it gets lighter and lighter until it's that basic red color, and that makes a really good shadow. So that's how I do shadows. And that's just another way to do it. You could do it the cell shading, like I talked about before, or you can do it with the airbrush technique. Those are the main ways I know how to do shading. I don't know if there's any other ways you can do shading, but I mean, you can do shading however you want. You can use a different brush rather than the airbrush technique. You can use a different brush. Some people use like this, this hatch brush, this like, it makes like little lines. Some people, there's like comics that have this hatch brush used, and, they just, wherever they want shading, they just make these little, it makes little lines there, and it signifies that there's shading there. I just think that's too much of a contrast, especially if you're doing a colored picture. If it's a black and white picture, that works really well for black and white, having those like lines or those dots to show that there's shading. But I don't like those for colored pictures. So I don't have any images that have that as an example with like the hatched lines that represents shading. But if you look it up, like a lot of manga and comics, when they're black and white, they have that a lot of the time instead of like cell shading or airbrush shading. So those are the three ways I can think of to add shadow or like more definition. And you can also use any of those techniques except for like you can use the first two. I don't think you can really use the hatchet technique to make light. Like, on the other side, if you have shadow on one side, you gotta have some light coming in on the other side. So if you want a lighter area, like on this shirt that we're talking about, you can use, like, the airbrush technique or the cell shading technique, take a lighter color red, and you can make a lighter area on the other side, and you would do it the same way as the shadow. You would have your main part that's the lightest, and then you would get darker from that spot, just like you would have your darkest point for the shadow and you would get lighter from that spot. And that's pretty much my knowledge of shading on digital drawings. So if you have any questions about that, I'll answer them, but I can continue on.
Continue on.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Let's stop 1 second. Okay. I see what you're saying with regards to Krita, because I was just playing around with it, and you're right. What's interesting is if I take a layer, we call it my background layer, and I create another layer on top of that, and I do the circle tool, and if I do another layer on top of that, create a square, if I go down to the first layer and I do the fill, the areas that the other layers were on that have the empty space, like the inside of the circle and the inside of the square, are not filled in.
And also, if you move those layers, you can see that the lines of those squares and circles, they didn't get filled either.
No, they didn't get filled in either. And if you go up to another layer and you fill in on that layer, it wipes everything out of that layer.
Yeah, if you have like a complete line art, like a black line art, and you have a background, and it's like, if you for some reason have a black background, I don't know, and you fill in like a top layer with white, it'll make everything white because everything was black. So I think it just goes with like the pixel color, and it fills everything that's that one color in.
Right. So it doesn't, like in the GIMP, if I were to put a circle on the screen and I were to do the fill tool outside the circle, the outside of the circle would get filled. If I did it inside the circle, only the inside of the circle would get filled. But if I do this on a layer in Krita, the whole thing, regardless of what's in that circle, gets filled.
Also,
of that color.
Yeah, also, if you have like a circle and you make a layer on top of it, and you click, like, even though it's a brand new layer and it's not supposed to have anything in it, if you click on, like, one of the parts of that circle, it'll fill that circle and any of the colors that are the same color as that circle that touch it. So even though it's on a completely different layer, it'll still act as if it's, like, touching that circle.
So I guess this comes back to the way these tools are designed to operate is where the fundamental disconnect is, I think, as to why it does that. I mean, my speculation is, first and foremost, that it's treating each layer as its own object, and if you were to draw squiggly lines, those are just lines, but if you were to just, it would be just like a piece of paper. If you were to just say, I'm going to fill this whole piece of paper with a specific color, it will just overwash whatever is already on there. But let's continue on.
Okay. Well, now that I have, like, this imaginary picture with this imaginary red shirt that's imaginarily shaded, I would continue on and I would make a new layer for every part that I had to color. And I would do all those colorings, and once, like, each layer would be transparent. So once I was satisfied with everything that I had colored, I would have to move on, and I always do a background for my pictures, because without a background, they just look incomplete to me. So I would go down, and this is where the original template page comes in that I didn't color on at all. I would go back to that page, and that's where I would start my background. I wouldn't want to color directly on it until I knew exactly what I wanted, so I would make another layer that was underneath all of my layers that had my line art and everything that colored in my line art. Once I had, like, after making a new layer above my original template layer, I would start making my background. And, like, what you make your background, like, what tools you use depend on what you want for your background. Usually I just make it a solid color, maybe add some squiggly lines with the freehand path tool. Maybe I'll do some straight lines with the straight line tool, which is really cool. It's right next to the freehand tool. I could make some shapes with the shape tool. I can make rectangles or ellipses, or I can make a polygon, which you would just, you know, click and then move your mouse and click again and click again and click again and click again, and then you hit, like, shift and you click one more time and it makes a picture. It makes a polygon. It connects whatever lines you didn't connect to make a complete shape. So you could use that. There's this one tool, what's it called? Paint with multi-brushes, and if you click one spot, it makes, like, a kaleidoscope effect, and your paintbrush appears, like, six times? Yeah, six times, and, like, each place that it's in, it makes the same exact image, and that looks pretty cool sometimes. It actually always looks cool, but, you know, sometimes it's not right for a picture. And then they have this, like, dynamic movements brush where you just, you click on it, you start in, like, the center of whatever it is, and when you move it, it makes these, like, very exaggerated, dramatic move, like, brush strokes. And, it's kind of hard to use because it's hard to manipulate it, but if you use it right in the background, it can look really cool. A lot of these brushes and tools are mostly, like, you gotta figure them out yourself, and if you think you can incorporate it into a drawing, you can. But what I think Krita is mainly about is the free brush stroke, the free, like, the paintbrush brushes, the free stroke, and all the options you can have as your paintbrush or for your paintbrush. That's what Krita is mainly about for me, is all those different paintbrush options you have, and then you can apply them to the very limited amount of tools that you have. So once you have that background made, you can merge it down to your first layer if you want. You don't have to do that. Like, whatever looks best. If you need to merge it down to have, like, white behind your background, or if you need your background to have, like, a different color behind it, you can make that layer a different color by painting over it with a different color. Anything that goes outside the visible boundaries won't show on a final, like, a saved file. It won't show those, like, those extra brush strokes that go outside the boundary, even though you can make them outside the boundary and you can move them over to see them. They won't be visible if it's outside the boundary. So you can color the base thing anything you want, just like you can color any, layer anything you want. And then what I usually do, what I sometimes do, for my pictures is sometimes I merge all the layers down into one completed picture to feel like a complete picture. But sometimes I don't do that because sometimes I'm like, well, I'm not really certain about this picture with this background or just this part of this picture. So I just leave it all, in layers and I save it as a Krita file and then I can export it as like a JPEG or a PNG file. And so it could be like, visible, uploaded to different sites or whatever, or just like have as a visible file that I can open up with an image viewer application. But then I can also have that backup Krita application that's got those layers that I can go back and edit anything if I'm not satisfied with something. So that's basically how I would finish making a picture, is I would either merge it all down or leave it as layers and then save it in a Krita file just to be safe and then export it. Because a Krita file can't really be opened in anything but Krita. Since it's a Krita file. And that's basically, yeah, that's what I would do to draw a picture.
Now, here's a thought for you. If you want to take your image and export it out as all layers and import it into the GIMP and retain the layers, use OpenRaster format.
Oh, okay.
I just did it.
There's so many options there, and I don't think they really give you much, like description for the different options. So I wasn't sure what to use and I didn't really feel like fiddling around with each one. But now that I know which one it is, I'll use it and I'll be able to like take my picture if I have a problem with any of the layers. Like if I had a certain layer and I wanted to do something with it, but I didn't have a tool in Krita to do it, I could open it up in like GIMP or maybe see if that opens up in Inkscape too. And I would have all those layers and I'd be able to edit them individually.
There you go. Now see, are you going to take graphic design in school? Is that it? I mean, are you going to go on to the computerized courses for art?
Like at school?
Yeah, at school.
They have graphic design at my school. So I might, if like during my senior year I don't have a bunch of AP classes and stuff that, and I have like some open blocks like next year, I won't be taking art, painting anymore. I might decide to do graphic design, but I don't know because I think what they mainly use is Photoshop and I don't really want to learn how to do Photoshop because I don't want to draw in Photoshop.
Well, it wouldn't be bad to learn, but what I'm thinking is you probably would get a better understanding of what these tools are for and how to use them and which one you would use for where, and understand the terminology that's behind them and kind of like what we're talking about is why does Krita behave that way? What is the reason that it does that? That's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that's true. It would be beneficial to learn that. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think we might just have a animation class. I don't know if we have a graphic design class.
Well, something to look into.
Yeah.
So you like Krita? You like Krita?
I like it a lot. I didn't like it at first, and the only reason I didn't like it was because the minute I opened it up, well, I think like there was a point where when I opened it up, it didn't fit my computer screen right. Or something like at one time, it might have been on a different computer. So I think I might have had a different computer when I first got it. I'm not sure though. But like at this one point in time, like it wouldn't fit my computer. And so it's just like, I don't like it when things can't fit my computer. And I didn't know how to fix that. So I just didn't use it. And then my other problem was that once I opened it up, like it gave me that, like your customized document screen where you had to put in all these like dimensions and stuff and it gave you all these options and that just put me off so much. I don't really know why, but it's like I just didn't want to deal with that. But once I got past that and I started, I did some like doodles and fiddled around with it a couple times, but I never really got into it until like this past week. I just drew something and I was like so happy with it. I started drawing a bunch and all my stuff has come out really good and I really enjoy using it. And each time I use it, I learn new things about it, that help me draw. So it's been a kind of a weird experience starting to use Krita, but what I've done, I've fallen in love with what I've done and I've fallen in love with the application.
Well, that is cool, and I hope that inspires other people to fall in love with the application, too. So now under your tool belt, you have both GIMP and Krita, and we're going to post some of your artwork on the webpage.
Yeah. With Inkscape, like, I do know how to do stuff in Inkscape. I've just never had to do, like, I've never had a drawing or an image that needed one of those skills, one of those things done to it. So I can do a bunch of stuff in Inkscape. Like, if I needed to create a logo, I would go into Inkscape and I would do it. But I've never used that to make a drawing because I just, that's not what I think it should be used for. So I can use Inkscape. I've just never had. And now that I can open files in GIMP from Krita, and I could probably open them in Inkscape too, I might start using Inkscape to edit some images.
Well, I'd like to hear your results.
Yep.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about this episode?
Well, seeing as I was not really prepared for it, I don't think I have anything else to say. I feel like this was a very jumbled episode. I should have been more prepared.
No, that's okay. We like to wing it.
I feel like I wasn't very helpful at all. But
no, I think you did a good thing. What I would like to see. Let's talk about doing another episode.
Is this basically you telling me that this is my homework?
Yeah, here it comes. So in a year and a half from now, we can come back and all these applications, you'll be doing this on Photoshop, right? In a year and a half from now.
Oh, God. I hope not.
Okay, so I would like you to get a better understanding of why these, what the way that these tools operate and why that they work in specific ways. Like, why does Krita do the fill like that?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Another application that I want you to look into is MyPaint. You can install that because I just installed it on the machine down here.
MyPaint. What?
Because MyPaint is called MyPaint.
Okay.
Now, I did a quick search because I was curious, you know, originally your question is how would you export from Krita to GIMP and retain layers and stuff like that. And I saw a post by somebody, his name is, if you do a search for export from Krita to GIMP, the first thing that comes up is a post by a guy named David Ravoy, who's an illustrator and painter. And he had mentioned that it seems like his workflow, he's complaining about, this is what he says, experience. Personally, I never really was a fan of this new behavior. So GIMP save export new behavior is far to be popular according to the GIMP development, various feedback and some tweeting. Okay, he's talking about essentially the behavior of save versus export in the GIMP, because the GIMP move from, when you do a save, it allows you to save in the GIMP format, but export allows you to do what save as used to do, I believe it is. Okay, so you have, he's saying that his digital painting workflow is from MyPaint to Krita to GIMP. So it sounds like he starts with MyPaint and he kind of moves between MyPaint and Krita, and then his next step would be from Krita to GIMP. I'm just based upon this. And he does all this using open raster files. So I'm just looking into it. I'm curious because I fired up MyPaint and it seems to be like a very different animal than Krita is. So I'm curious as to why would you use MyPaint to Krita to GIMP? Because it almost seems like for the pure drawing, maybe MyPaint might be the first step, and then that would be something you would take into Krita. Why would you do that? I don't know.
Well, it looks cool, so it's got a lot of, like, I just went on the website, and it's got, like, all these brushes and stuff, and they look pretty awesome, so.
Yeah, it's a fast and easy open-source graphics application for digital painters. It lets you focus on art instead of the program. Believe me, when I went in and started playing around with it, I'm like, forget it. I have no idea what I'm doing here. I mean, it's...
Well, that means it must be great for me.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, the brushes look... Like you said, the brushes look good. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Just something
they got
to check out.
they got a calligraphy brush, which is something Inkscape has and Krita does not have, and that looks pretty cool because I actually like using the calligraphy brush in Inkscape. It's what I made that flower rose thing with that we have on the website that I had to do for homework, and that was like the only thing I could figure out how to use is like a paintbrush. So I used that to make that, and so I really like the calligraphy brushes, so that's cool. I don't know if Krita has one of those.
Well, there we go. I mean, if you could kind of get a little more understanding as to, I guess, just the basics behind some of the graphic designs, okay? Why is there MyPaint and Krita and GIMP and Inkscape, and where, like, what would be the optimal workflow? Because right now it sounds like you have a good workflow, but I mean, is there a better way of doing it like MyPaint, Krita, and GIMP, and what is the better tool for doing what? I mean, is it better to do coloring in Krita? Is it better to do your coloring in GIMP? I don't know. Just curious.
Okay.
So there we go. Anything else you'd like to talk about this week? We're getting on there, Paige, and I got to go make dinner.
Oh, yeah. Korean barbecue. Or, no, Korean fried chicken. That should be interesting.
There we go.
I haven't really done that much. We could talk about Echelon if you want, or we could save that for another episode.
Let's save it for the next episode.
Okay, because
I want to see if you can finish.
We could talk a lot about Echelon. Yeah, I could probably finish it by, like, a couple, like, by the time, before Echelon 3 comes out, I could probably finish it and we could do an episode. Or we can do an episode after Echelon 3 and we could put our initial first impressions of that too.
Well, let me ask you this, just a curiosity. The other day, a couple days ago, you were telling me you think you're already almost at the end of it. When you said you thought you're almost at the end of it, do you really think you're almost at the end of it?
Well, when I played Echelon 1, there's a limit in Echelon 1 for the levels, and I think that's like 17 levels. And I'm playing Echelon 2, and I'm already at level like 13. So I must be getting on in the game because it, like, everything's starting to get really easy. I've got a buttload of money, and I only have one quest and a treasure map that I haven't followed. So I'm pretty sure I'm getting close to the end because I think all I have to do is finish that quest, and then that's the end of the game.
Well, we shall see. Keep it in mind for the next episode. So, thank you very much, Paige. And if that's it, I mean, we'll close this up and I'll go make dinner.
You are welcome very much. And
thank you.
I think that's it.
Now, make sure that you press stop recording on there because recording on your end is a backup. So,
okay.
If that's it, I mean, let's call it a good night and you can sing us out, Paige.
Psych. I have a throat. Nuh-uh.
All right, well, happy days. You know what? Maybe next time we'll also get Avery to come on and talk about Avery's project, how that went.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That would be good. We could have a guest on the show.
There we go.
Well, I mean, wait, no, it's Linux in the House, so I don't think she'd really be a guest. I think she's considered part of the show.
Yeah, that we could get Mommy to talk about her Chromebook. I don't know.
We could do all that. All right. We could get Lily to come on and talk about something that we wouldn't understand.
There we go. All right, well, thank you very much. Love you, Paige, and we'll talk to you next time.
Love me, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Linux in the house. Shizzle McNizzle.
Daddy has a gun.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Go to the first one there. It says audio input. What do you see as device?
Plantronics, audio, USB, analog, stereo.
Press apply.
Okay.
Is it still coming through your speaker?
Yeah.
No, wait, go to audio output.
Okay.
What's it say?
Same thing, the Plantronics.
Press apply.
Okay.
Is it still going?
Yeah.
Is it going through both of them or just one?
Just one.
Hold on. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La di da di da di da. What the crap?
Okay, I'm done.
Alright, let me see here. Speak.
Well. Test.
Why? No, hold on. Why is this? Playback. Whoa. There we go.
Is it working?
It is now. How's that?
I don't know.
Here we go. Sounds good to me. Come back
okay.
up here.
All right.
A bunch of bull crap is what it is. Oh, what's taking you so long?
What?
All right, you ready?
I guess.
All right. Why do I hear myself coming back?
You're pretty loud. I mean, I don't know.
All right. Hold on. Tell me when I get... Let me see here. How's that?
It's still just as loud, I think.
No, it's not.
Well, oh, it's not? Do you hear yourself?
I do, but that's because it's probably coming through your speakers.
Yeah, probably.
You know what you can do is turn
do
your speakers
thing?
Down.
Like through my main audio?
Can you do it through your main audio? Or just
oh,
type,
wait, hold on.
Do PAVU control,
wait,
you can turn
did that work?
What? Testing. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Here, let me turn up just a little bit. Okay, is that working?
Is it working for you?
I can hear you. Is it echoing?
No, I don't hear it.
Okay, then I guess we're good.
Oh. Alright, let's get this show going. Let's cry.
Why? Why are we crying?
I don't know. Guy, why don't you sing the opening?
Sake, why don't you sing the opening?
Hold on, I'm gonna...
My throat hurts, I can't sing the opening.
We're on episode 13.
We are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to episode 13 of Linux in the House. Are you muted? Mute yourself when I am talking and you're not.
Yes, sir.
Because you're causing all sorts of noise on the channel, and people don't want to hear noise. They want to hear quality.
Oh,
which
fine,
is
then
why...
start it over. Jeez.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.